Blog Talk Radio. This is a Message of Concern show. Supposed to be spearheaded by Daya Akpar. Tonight she's on the way. We are here tonight to thank you for joining us in this effort, Message of Concern, concerning our children and how they are being raised and what can we do to prevent them from falling into the inferiority structure that most of the people, especially African American people of color, have failed in inferiority, because inferiority bring about some superiority in other places. We know that no one is superior but Almighty God. So, we testify, we open the bear witness, there is no God but one God, one Allah, and He is the creator of all of us, and the Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah with the seal of the prophets. So this is supposed to be the sisters' night to address this serious issue of the damage that these images have done to our children, all kind of image. Santa Claus is an image. Rudolph the Red-Nosed the Reindeer is an image. Batman is an image. Superman, I can go on and on. All these are things image that enter our children and cause them to put on the brakes or slow down when they get an opportunity to excel in life. And the proof of that, we still don't own nothing as people of this creation. We own nothing. We are all dependent on somebody else. And that comes from the inferiority that was fed into us. Our mothers told us that never to say no. You can't. We were told not to say can't. But there was a force stopping us from ever being successful, and that's exactly what has happened. And we want to turn that around. If we build the pyramid, then that skill is still in our children, genetic makeup. And all we got to do is wake it up in them. First, we have to come back and be honest and learn to trust each other, because this is one of the ingredients that is missing from us. We have very little trust for each other. So we're working here tonight to cure that kind of cancer, that problem. And I'm sure when my wife get here, Daya Akbar, get here, and I'm sure she's going to add her portion to get rid of this problem. So she's on the way. And I think I hear coming now. So may Allah continue to successful blessing us to overcome and to come up out of this inferiority and be the best people that we can be and be the most informed people, because we are all human beings. But when one part of the human family fall on the lies and the tricks, then it falls on all the rest. Then we have a tendency to hurt each other, kill each other, not showing each other justice, not working for justice for all. We're not going to do that when one think they're inferior and one think they're superior. Yeah, so we're going to be recruiting people. Inshallah, help us out on this Broad Talk radio station. Okay, I see that she's on the way. Daya, you ready? Huh? Are you coming? Huh? But she said she'll be here in 5 minutes. So we're going to go over with the prayer. We don't want to go too deep into the prayer. Huh?
I'll do the prayer.
You're going to do the prayer, okay. Well, she's on the way. And I thank you. I'm Abdul Akbar, one of the cohort workers, along with Daya Akbar, one of the cohort workers, and Suja Muhammad, coming out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is a cohort worker. We are from Decatur, Georgia. Daya Akbar and Abdul Akbar, we are from Decatur, Georgia. And we also have Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And now we have also Imam who's working with us here, and that's Ibrahim Abdullah from Atlanta, Georgia. And he his masjid, our masjid, and one of our masjids is in LaGrange, Georgia. So he's the Imam of LaGrange, Georgia, and also the chaplain there, too. So, prison service. So we just left two janaza, and we got one coming tomorrow. We have one Saturday, and one Friday. So there's people dying, and in an alarming rate, but everybody come here to go back for what and take the record they accumulate while they was here. All of us. That's why lost all of us must taste there. All that coming. Okay. Well, hey, Daya Akbar. Thank you for listening. I'll be in and out of the show tonight. Showing my support for this beautiful Blog Talk radio station where we work hard every 6 days a week, speaking on the number one problem in the world that all the prophets spoke about and all the people that was messenger and all the seers, all the people that that God have chosen to speak to the people. And one of the major problems, he said, don't make no image of God. And they done that, and that's where all the problems are coming out. So here's Daya Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Akbar. Appreciate it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alamin ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim walidallin Ameen.
That's the refuge in Allah from the rejected enemy. Wouldn't be lying in the shape of the regime. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Walidallin. Ameen. I had to say that twice, because I've been through some dilemma today. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I just recited the Al-Fatiha in Arabic, and now I just want to just quickly say it to you in English, recite it in English. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world, is most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show me the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Sadaqallahu al-Din, surely Allah speaks the truth. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Blog Talk Radio Show, the message of concern. The message of concern, the serious message of concern, is the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. That's number one. Second focus is the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. So both of those focuses we are working on here on this Blog Talk Radio Show. And I want to reiterate, we enjoy and would appreciate your input. All you have to do when you call in to the show with the number or at the number 515-602-9665. 515-602-9665, and then you'll be put into the listening mood or mode, and you want to say something after you've heard someone speak. You want to add on to it, if you want to take away from it, or if you want to voice your opinion on it, just push one on your telephone receiver, and you'll be brought into the pew or the cube to speak on your concern. You'll be brought into the cube. Just push one on the telephone receiver. You'll be brought into the cube to speak. And please participate with your questions as well. Oh, excuse me. I have an arthritis problem, but I'm telling you, it's giving me a run for my money today. I can't let it whip me. I'm going to whip it right on away, inshallah. Inshallah, we got to whip this right on the way. Because Allah don't intend for us to be like this. Allah does not intend for us to be like this. And we won't be like this. We're not going to give in to this. We won't. We won't give in to this. First, I would like to see if I can get my book. I had some rearrangements done here. And the rearrangements might have took my book on in with it, and I don't see it. This is Brother Henry's book. I call it my little mascot, and it has in the back of the book quotes from the King James Version that would, I won't say free us, but that will help us to help you understand that we're not just coming at things from the top of our heads. We have read in the Holy Bible, King James Version. We have read it. We have studied it. And we also have not actually counted. Maybe sometimes one of us sometimes had counted the amount of times that the King James Version mentions that graven image of worship. That graven image of worship. And if you would hold on 1 second for me. Sorry, I had you on mute. How can you hear me like that? I apologize. What I was looking for was the book of Brother Henry's, Henry S. Faithfullah, which brought to our attention, and which reminds us of that graven image, that we want removed because we feel that it's putting something, adding something with our Creator, and the Creator is only one. Matter of fact, we have in E-class where it says, when it says, Allah is God, the one and only, Creator, and there is none like unto him. He neither begets nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Okay, and I might have not chopped it up a little bit, but I might have missed out some words on it a little bit. Like I said, I have done some rearranging things in that particular book for some reason or another. It's not where it was before. It wasn't put back where it should have been put back to. But I will get it, and even if it's before the end of the show today, I will read those verses to you from Romans and from Deuteronomy and the Holy Quran. I know that you're running in Deuteronomy is from the Holy Bible, King James Version, but then one E-class, Surah 112, is the surah that we would recite from the Quran, which is Allah, the one and only, being the one and only Creator out of the heavens and the earth and all in between. He neither begets nor is he begotten. There is none like unto him. And as a matter of fact, let me back up a little bit. Thank Allah for letting us with our souls back this morning. Give us another chance to repent and another chance to work on our shortcomings and pray frequently for forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings. And I bear witness that there's only one Creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, one Creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah ever be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and Allah's last messenger. Hold on one second. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting myself, but I have to get my book. Hold on, please. Okay, well, when we get to it, when we find, like I said, I've rearranged some things. So when we find that book, I'll quote that to you, you know, without a doubt. I will quote it to you and let you know what it says, because it is helpful. It'll help those who are listening to know that we're not just saying things and making up things. We have backup for those statements that we're making about that graven image and about that message of concern coming from your Bible. A lot of you read. And also coming from the Holy Quran. So that's my intention. That's why I was so anxious to get that book, because we've been out all day, and I'm sorry I didn't get that book out to prepare myself for tonight. Two janazas in one day. So in gravesite. Okay. But anyway, they say verbatim, as if thou should make no images of God on top of the earth, or in the water beneath the earth. You know, you should make no images, no graven images of the Creator. And both of them, Roman 20th chapter, I think that's the fifth verse, in Deuteronomy. Chapters and the verse, the chapter and the verse of that one, but it's the same and verbatim, really, words. It just may be It rings differently, but they're the same words quoted. Okay? We want to mention that this is the Message of Concern blog talk radio show that comes on six nights a week. Six nights a week from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, out of California, where our sponsor is, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad, it's, I don't know, close there, it's 4 o'clock their time when it's 7 o'clock our time. So, that's how they live, like 3 hours ahead of us, 3 hours ahead of us. And those are the times. On Sundays and Tuesdays, the sisters represent the children, and our focus is the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children, and the untruths that have been told to them forever and a day, and we're trying to correct that and help the people to see that they are not true. Take their pagan ideas, ideologies, and outlook, and they are not ours. So of Christmas, like Christmas, and like Easter, Valentine's Day, you know, things like that, those are practices and doings of the pagans, okay? And they all have false images of God because those are false beliefs, false quotes and accusations made toward God, our Creator, okay? So we're trying to eliminate those by telling the children the truth and explaining to them why it started and how it started in the first place for them to believe as they've been told, and now how it's starting to correct itself. Okay? Thank you. Okay, I'm back. I had to mute it for a minute. But, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. They have to know the truth. And gradually, like they say, slowly but surely, like the elders used to say, they will get the message clear and the message will be true, the truth to them, instead of the fairy tales and untruths. Okay. Okay. And because they've been and some are still being misled. So when Christmas comes around, well, let's say, for instance, yeah, that's the next one that they're supposed to be celebrating. So when Christmas comes around and they want to take part in plays at school for the Christmas holiday, then, which they call the holiday, we call it a recognition day because they recognize it as being a holiday. When the children want to take part in plays in the school, and the way a lot of us used to do when we were younger, took part in plays and things at school because our grandparents had raised us or our parents had raised us, believed those things. But nowadays, slowly but surely, they're beginning to read about it and find out for themselves that they are not the truth. They're not the truth. And it shouldn't be taught to our children. It should not have been taught to us. But that's the thing of the past, and we're trying to correct it, inshallah. And let me see now. We do the best we can with that, and that's why we're asking for everybody's help, for your help, when you come on the show and you realize, you tell your understanding, and we tell our understanding, and that's a conversation for us. It can even be someone to come in to do a presentation about it, someone that's more knowledgeable, or more aware and eager to tell the truth about it, you know, and do the right thing. Then the next one would be, well, New Year's is okay because children don't bother about New Year's. Then they have the Valentine's Day. That's another thing that's a cripple. That's a crutch that needs a crutch. Easter, another thing that's crippled and needs a crutch. And different little celebrations that the children have to be told the truth about and not just be led on to forever and forever led down the path of darkness with no understanding, just, my grandmother said, my foreparents did this or do that, the ones I remember, you know, during whatever time it was that I remember them, then so it must be true. Then when they start to learn different and get interested enough to search for it for themselves, then they become most grateful. And we pray that Allah continue to bless them to become grateful to those who come to them with the truth and try to wake them up and awaken them, you know, back to their natural self, because it's not a natural self for them to believe in these false worshiping and idols and all. So that's what we're trying to do, correct that. I was trying to look for my book. Okay, here it is. Now, if I see two people on here, that may, if you want to say anything, please, if you want to start up a conversation or finish a conversation or something that we might have had last week, sometimes or another week, you can push one on your phone receiver and be brought into the queue, and we can start a conversation. But right now, with the COVID, we have to really, really, really help protect our children. I don't know if I recall. I think I might have. I think I've told everybody that I know and is close to. Trying to let everybody know what my dream was. And I don't know how. Excuse me, please. Keep what you're going to get to me. Anyway, I'm finished. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm back. But just come into the queue. You know, we bring into the queue, rather. Push one on your receiver. Bear with me, please. Bear with me. So just be patient with me, and I'll come back. Just I might come back to where it's supposed to be in a minute. Here, trying to get it together. In a minute, I get thrown off sometimes too. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being, and we got to stop saying that. I'm only human. We have to stop saying that. I think Imam might have done a CD on that at one time, or some of the Imam I've heard before might have done a CD on that saying to stop saying I'm only human. We're only human. Yes, that's your excuse, you know. You just have to do better. You just have to do better. Okay. But our main interest here on this show on Sunday night and Tuesday night is to bring the attention to our youth, our children, and to bring the attention to them and bring the truth to them and have them to participate as well and give us feedback on how they feel or they can, maybe they can get an assignment sometime or another, the younger people, or we'll just announce it and then come back with it the next time, next session, you know, and have some input that way, because this is also a learning process, because as long as we live, we'll be learning. It's a part of our growth and development, but then we can also give feedback and see if we have really learned anything or if we have really studied anything pertaining to what we're talking about. And that is the truth. Okay, that is the truth, how it affects our children and what we're going to do about it, as well as some of the older people. You know, same thing. Okay, now, what else was that I wanted to bring out and point out? You know, every week we have a different journal. I always try to speak on it. I always try to bring something to the table from the Muslim Journal that's a part of our topic, which is a message of concern. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. And this particular week, we have interesting stuff. A lot. Well, it's always interesting. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's just that it's got all of the the era of woman launches its first a mother's prayer rally after prayer. A mother's prayer rally after prayer. And this sounds very, very interesting, and it is very, very interesting. So, we have all of our knowledgeable people here. Sister Aisha Mustafa, Sister Aisela Rashid, and Sister Shahida Sharif. She's my Hajj daughter with a Hajj prose. Okay, and Tiffany G. Abdullah and Akolo Rashid. So, they got some interesting stuff going on here. And it took place in, it says, Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, so I don't want to just really start off reading. I would like for us to discuss some, but these are the things that maybe will interest us. I mean, not all of it will interest us, but this is something that may wake us up a little bit and give us more energy and energize us to the point where we can get this thing, get this rolling here, you know, moving right along and getting something done and something covered and took care of, to get some business on the program, you know, instead of just talking. Okay. I won't forget either to speak this time on the children and the COVID and the shots. You know that we're being forced to take, well, it's being forceful measures being took and being stated that will be took on those who are not following, quote unquote, their instructions to take the COVID shots, or you won't be able to work here, wherever the police may be. And we have Sister Amatullah or Madalau Rani, who writes an article every week in the Muslim Journal. She's MSW and contributing writer. So, and this is always on page 11 where you'll find the education in Islamic school system. And she writes her article. not a very long article at times, but it said that it's especially for children and young adults approaching the first anniversary of COVID-19 vaccines. That's hers. That's her title. Excuse me. That's the subject for this week's Muslim Journal that she's expounding on, which is fine. And if anybody else has the paper, they too can look at the Muslim Journal. Please, if you get it, please look through the Muslim Journal and see what article that you can bring to the table when you come back on, and see what you get out of it, speak your opinion of it, and what you've learned from it or understood from it, and then if everybody does that, then can you imagine how much knowledge is shared? So we're supposed to share it. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. You know how they say each one teach one, or how they say that Muslims learn the Arabic, they teach it to someone else, or anything that we learn, really, that we know is profitable to us, then we would learn it and teach it to someone else, pass it on, don't keep it to ourselves. That's what we're supposed to do. I want to read this and then get some started on this right here. Page 18. Okay, now, a mother's prayer. This is coming from November 19th, 2021, this issue of the Muslim Journal. November 19th, 2021. Okay. And I never really, well, I've read it before, different times before, but just reading it each time, it seems like I get some different meaning or different feeling from it or spirit from it. And it says, Muslim Journal, bringing humanity together in moral excellence with truth and understanding. That's a lot. Bringing humanity together in moral excellence with truth and understanding. Okay, a mother's prayer, a radical revolution of values to restructure society. Era of Women launches its first A Mother's Prayer rally after prayer. Okay, it says Atlanta, Georgia. A time comes when silence is betrayal. The war in Vietnam is but a symptom of a far deeper disease within the American spirit. I am convinced that if we are to get on the right side of the world revolution, we as a nation must undergo a radical revolution of values and profound change in American life and policy. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says that. Okay, read on. On May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was held down and suffocated to death by the pressures of the knee of a Minneapolis police officer. Everything that occurred afterward, the protest and the conviction, would not have happened if not for the courageous action of Darnella Frazier, a then 17-year-old African-American young woman who was just taking her little cousin to the store for snacks. Frazier's cell phone video became the crucial evidence that convicted Officer Derek Chauvin for Floyd's murder. Frazier heard Mr. Floyd call out for his mother as she stood a few feet away. She answered the dying Floyd's call when she released her video the next day. This call for his mother became a rallying cry for other mothers. From that cry of a son for his mother was born Era of Woman. EOW, Era of Woman. Okola Rashid, the co-founder of the International Museum of Muslim Cultures and co-founder of EOW, explained, "His cry and the cry of many others killed senseless have sparked this movement of motherhood leadership, which is defined in Islam as the sentiments, sensitivities, and values of mother to lead. Era of Woman was developed organically during the fall of 2020 when Sister Asila Rashid sought advice from her mother, Sister Akolo, about what had taken place and was beginning to transpire in the country shortly after Floyd's murder. We determined that our greatest need is a platform for African American Muslim women and African American women voices, and for them to work together for the advancement, preparation, protection, and preservation of the African American community through broad-based engagement. Era of Woman has been meeting practically every Sunday since July 2020, and our network has expanded to include sisters across the country from within the interfaith and broad-based communities. We talk, we share, we laugh, we love, and learn from one another, and over time, Era of Woman was born. We are a leadership network. We invite women leaders, mother leaders, formal or informal, to join us. Come as you are. Bring what you have. You are already enough. We formed in the example of Khadija, the mother of believers for Muslims. Like her, we are businesswomen, nurturers, and the cultivators of society. What makes Era of Woman different and timely is our values. We saw the movement for social justice lacking. It did not represent basic universal religious values. These include the values and belief in marriage and family as foundational to the reconstruction of the human family. Era of Woman is a movement to restore humanity through cultivating these values, beginning with the African American community at the center. Okay, then it says, what is our vision? A restored, thriving, self-actualized, and self-determined African American community, empowered, and uplifted by African American women leadership in partnership with African American men. Malcolm X said in a 1963 Berkeley, California interview, when you put a seed in the soil, it remains beneath the soil until the atmospheric changes makes the crop grow in the appointed time. Allah has brought about this appointed time for black people and especially black women to stand up and hear the call of Imam Muhammad, Dr. King, Mr. Floyd, and allow for all mothers to bring our unique form of leadership to bear. The mission of Era of Woman is to amplify the voices and leadership of African American partnership with other African American women for the advancement, preparation, protection, and preservation of the African American community through broad-based community engagement. Sister Aisha Waheed encouraged us to bring prayer back to the community. This inspired the idea for a prayer rally, which morphed into a mother's prayer rally because we knew there was no prayer stronger than a mother's prayer. Without our mother's prayers, through the generations, we would not be here. Alhamdulillah, that's right, I feel the same way. We held our first public event, a Mother's Prayer Rally, on Saturday, October 30th, 2021, at the Inner City Muslim Action Network, Iman, Atlanta's Green Reentry Village in the heart of Southwest Atlanta. This launched the start of our broad-based community engagement to provide a platform for the voices of women leadership and action. We sought to utilize the powerful action of a mother's prayer in interfaith community, in interfaith communion, to drive a radical revolution of values and the restructuring of society. Our goal is to advance, prepare, preserve, and protect the human family while centering the African-American community in this pivotal movement or moment. The Atlanta A Mother's Prayer Rally was a partnership between Era of Woman, EOW, the Muslim Mix and Iman Atlanta, Inner City Muslim Action Network, Elevate Atlanta Art, City of Atlanta's Art Festival, and the International Museum of Muslim Cultures, IMMC, International Museum of Muslim Cultures. Okay. Here are the program highlights for the first Mother's Prayer Rally. Interfaith opening prayers, Shahida Sharif, president of Sisters United in the Human Services, Atlanta Masjid of El Islam, Rabbi Lydia Medwin, the temple, and Carol Maddox, archdeacon of the Atlanta Archdiocese. Why am I looking like I don't know that? The temple and Carol Maddox, archdeacon of the Atlanta Archdiocese for the Episcopal Church, executive director of Interfaith Public Policy Center. The program had a break for Dur Salat, midday prayer, led by Imam Mansour Sabri, followed by a welcome from Councilwoman Andrea Boone, City of Atlanta District 10, and a poem, The Power of a Mother's Prayer, by Amita Abdullah. The program was divided into three sections: our history, our past, the story of now, and the future. Our history, our past, and the story of now and the future. Women, the womb of mine, and the role of the family from a religious perspective, Shahada Sharif. History of the Freedom Movement, Elevating Women Leadership, Aisha K. Mustafa. Editor, Muslim Journal, Jackson, Mississippi, Chicago, Illinois. Rethinking the Civic or Civil Rights and African-American Muslim Movements as Parallel Movements to One Freedom Struggle in America. Akola Rashid, President, Co-Founder of the International Museum of Muslim Cultures, IMMC, Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson, MS, The Power Packed Poem, I Have a Son, Miss Latifa Ali, The Story of Now, Era of Woman, sparked by George Floyd's tragedy and phenomena, Tiffany Green, Abdullah Co-Chair, Era of a Woman, Karima Hanifa Ending. Okay, Karima Hanifa Ending, Mass Incarceration, Slavery Did Not End, It Evolved. Okay, Karima Hanifa Ending, Mass Incarceration, Slavery Did Not End, It Evolved. Khadija Abdul-Rahman, Fulton County Commissioner, District 6, first African-American Muslim woman elected official in Georgia. The figure, King Scott, candidate for Atlanta City Council District 4, Jada Ahmed, community organizer. Sabbath Muhammad, March number 15, Nation of Islam. Fajr Dulain, young entrepreneur. Affirmation. My goodness, excuse me. Oof. Messed it up big time. Wow. Okay. Fajr Dulain, young entrepreneur. Affirmation. Imam Pleman El Amin, Imam Emeritus, Atlanta Masjid, World Pilgrims of Atlanta. Call to action, Join Era of Women by Asila Rashid, EOW, co-chair, director of programs, Iman Atlanta. Performance, Taylor Nixon, Blue Skies, Sunny Days. Concluding session, Spiritual Healing and Grounding with Sound Bowls, Najla Sharif and Neil Raffaro. But what does advancement, preparation, protection, and reservation mean for African American people? Advanced movement is defined as the process of promoting a cause or a plan, the promotion of a woman in rank or status. We must organize. Okay, we must organize to operationalize in this movement and prevent women's erasure and marginalization. Okay. Women's erasure. And okay. We must organize to operationalize this movement and prevent women's erasure and marginalization this time as we move our agenda forward into the future to preserve and restore the African-American community. A Mother's Prayer rally is being planned in other cities in partnership with Era of Women. We invite women across the nation and women to partner with Era of Women in our broad-based community engagement to restore our community. Okay. Engage our community. One second, please. Go. Okay, we're back on now. Praise be to Allah. Heads off at first. Okay, we have someone now. I see a couple of people. Light is on here, and I want to recognize that. Number one, we have Let's switch out. Yeah.
Area code 240. Last four numbers is 1963. Going to bring him in. This thing just politely took me off. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, this thing just took me off. Excuse me, please. Let me get you back on. Here it is. Okay, let me come back on. I don't know what's going on with it, but I'm going to open up the mics now. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suja, Sister Quran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Alaykum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir, brother.
I just want to give everybody the greeting. And first of all, I'd like to say with Allah's name, most gracious and most merciful. And I bear witness there's only one God, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet. And I just want to, just in case everybody don't know, you know, we just lost one of our soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. We just lost one of our good soldiers. And Brother Hoppett. Senior.
Brother Hoppett?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was talking about the ones here in Atlanta, two of them, and we just had two janazas today. Well, you, Brother Hoffett, and
yes, ma'am.
And security,
ma'am.
And Brother Hoffett, and security.
Yeah. I knew him through security, and my wife, and his children, my wife's children, they was sort of raised up together there in California. All the children know each other, and I just want to give my condolences, you know,
right.
And pray that Allah step him and step Brother Hoppers senior in his paradise. You know, we know it's from Allah we came, to Allah we got to return. But yes, the brother passed.
Is Father Hoppers? Is it father?
Yeah, the senior.
Oh.
The father, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, praise be to Allah. I mean, there's so many people that we know.
Yeah.
That I know. You know, it's passing. They pass and they come to me and so would pass. Yeah, wow.
Every day.
You know. Yeah, every day, you know. And you know, things are, it's no time for nothing else but being serious about this Hindi. That's what it's telling me. That stay on your deen, Shuja. Don't let nothing else get in your way. You know, and don't, you know, try to keep things going straight, you know. And praise be to Allah. We pray that Allah accept our brother. And I know he was a soldier. He was a hard worker, you know. And his son is coming on right behind him, you know. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I just want to bring that to to you all's attention. And you know, because, I mean, we're not going to never stop removing these racial images out of worship. And we know the psychological effect that it have on children. You know, the psychologist said that as the time they see that image up there, he said right away it affects the child psychologically. It makes them inferior. It makes them inferior. So that's how powerful that image is. You know, it ain't nothing that we just can take for granted, because it's messing up our young children and messing up other people's young children. You know, also it has a psychological effect on Caucasian children. You know, I always say this, and I got it from the imam, it makes them false. You know, right away is give them, they get a misunderstanding right away. You know, so you know, we ask them to remove these racial images out of worship. You know, if we won't worship God, why should we put it in the house of worship? Why should we put it in the church? Put some up in relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. That shows that these people right here is devils. When they do something like that, that ain't no joke. That ain't no joke. And to show you they are devils, they messed up anybody's children, anybody's child that see that the image up as God in the flesh. Like the imam said, it's just a word. You don't need their picture be up in the church no more. It's just the words in the scripture and the words that someone say in reference to Jesus that is affect the young folks and the older folks too, you know. But we are concerned about our future. We are concerned about our young children, you know, seeing these images. I remember I was there in Chicago. This is a fact, brothers and sisters. We was there in Chicago, and we went to a church there that had a big old statue sitting out in front, white statue of so-called Jesus. And the people were standing up, and there was two young girls. They seemed like they was about 12 and 13. And one of the girls told the other girl, let's go here and see God. You know? And they went on there and looked at that statue. So it's serious. It's serious. And they didn't have the statue. It wasn't a statue made out of wood or nothing like that. It was a white statue. It was all white. So they made sure that they got you. You know, it's all white. They looking at an all white statue of so-called Jesus. You know? And you ask them, is that Jesus? And the average Christian, older Christian, would tell you that that's not Jesus. So they went and looked at a lie. And the pastor and the rest of them have no problem setting that lie up there. But they'll tell you it's not Jesus. And so they know that it's a lie. You can't come behind that statue and tell the peoples that this is the figment of a person's imagination and this is how they saw it. You can't do that. When you say that that's the Son of God, if it's the Son of God, it got to be the Son of God, you know. But that's what they're doing, and we got to constantly remind our children And we got to educate them in religion, educate them on the Bible, and educate them on the Torah and the Holy Quran. Let them know who all the prophets is and whether or not they are God's servants, whether or not they are super, they are superior. Let them know they are human beings, just like you and I. So praise be to Allah. Came to you in peace and leave you in peace. Of assalamu alaikum. Turn it back over to you, Sister Daya.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Suja. Thank you.
Glad that you shared with us
your knowledge. You're always willing to share with us some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you make the plain, and we appreciate that. And thanks for giving us, even though it was something that was, I guess we never expect certain things in life, but
yes, ma'am.
We have to accept it. You know, we have to accept it because it's God's will.
Oh, absolutely.
God's will. We have to accept it. And everybody knows.
Absolutely.
Father Hafiz. Father,
yeah.
Hafiz. Brother Ibn and Brother Adele and the daughter and the daughter, the granddaughters. Oh, wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. He got a whole lot of children.
Yes, sir. He's got a lot of children. His children got a lot of children.
I think he got more than I have.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
I just got 12.
Ooh, you all just got 12. Elisha, bless. He knew what he was doing when he, I mean, we always know what he's doing, but he knew what he was doing to help me out quite a bit when he blessed me with two.
Alhamdulillah.
Two daughters and that. It was like 12, two daughters, goodness. And it's still on and on and on with those girls.
Alhamdulillah.
It's something.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. We pray Allah bless him with right in his grave and forgive me sin and shortcomings and bless him in the hereafter. Israel. Wow. Okay. I see someone else's evidence that they want to speak. And it looks like my husband. Akbar, are you ready to speak? Are you ready, Akbar? Evidently not, then, Brother Imam. Could you turn your phone down, please? Thank you.
Yeah, let Brother Imam speak.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam Ibrahim Abdullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
You heard about one of our greatest soldiers have been called back.
When he said that, I made dua for him as soon as he said it. And that's number 7 from our community that we know of.
Okay.
But let me first say, I opened up that window to testify, nothing deserving to worship except Allah alone. We have no associates, no partners. And I opened that window that the final revelation that Allah sent to earth to correct mankind and womankind is to hold the Quran through Prophet Muhammad. May the prayers be upon him. And I want to say then, inna ilahi wa inna ilahi rajiun, for all our brothers and sisters that have left. And we know that it shows you that Allah is doing his job.
Yes.
And then all we have to do is do our job.
Right.
And I'm quite sure if we do our job properly, then we'll be granted to paradise as well. And we're on the hills. We're on the hills.
Yeah.
So we pray unto Allah. I ask Allah for our community, for me, Suja, you, Akbar, the ones that I know be on this show. I ask Allah to bless us with 30 to 40 more years to turn this thing around. As he was saying about this image and the destruction of it and how it affects our children, I want to say that Imam Muhammad said, when he was getting us the correct information coming from Allah through Prophet Muhammad in the Quran, and he told us, he mentioned something about Prophet Muhammad. He always told us before we try to, you know, criticize or interpret things that Prophet did, he said, study him first and then draw your conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say something, brothers and sisters, you know, and I'm saying this out of love, but I love everybody that's on this show, and I'm going to do that until I leave this planet. We had a great teacher that Allah blessed us with, Imam Wadi Muhammad, alayhi salam. Peace be on him. And may Allah bless him with the highest post in paradise next to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi salam. So with that, he was telling us, as we follow him and the information he gave us, the information he gave us made it easy for us to connect, learn how to connect the Quran and the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet and give it to the people. Now, let me say this here. We were talking about that cross. My brother Suja said it. How that cross affected our children, how it damaged our children, not just our children, but their children as well. Because there's two plans of psychology there. One is positive, one is negative. That's the way they portrayed it, meaning that we were the downtrodden and they were the upper, because that image looked like them. And so when you look at it, how it had damaged us, I mean, it even affected us to a certain point. And we say, praise be to Allah, that he sent Imam Muhammad with the proper guidance. The Almighty Muhammad made it clear to us. He said, I'm not teaching you Islam. I'm only giving you the principle. But one come after me will take you into all truth. He used scripture. And we knew who that was. When he made that statement, he had Imam Muhammad up on the roster with him, standing next to him when he's on the roster when he made that statement. So it was clear. But let me show you something. Let me show you something. Psychology. What their cross had done to our children and done to us. Now listen, many of us psychologically don't know, even know it, we are still following Farah Muhammad. Now listen, Imam Muhammad said, study him first, and we study him through the eyes of Imam Muhammad, and then we draw conclusions. So we're not babies no more. We don't grow up. And my big brother said at that time that Imam Muhammad, we were sitting on the floor. He said, y'all look like little children out there. He said, but that's going to come a time where y'all going to rise up and be giants. And that's the goal now, for us to rise up and become giants. Giants, but little Muhammad at the same time. So in studying psychology, with this cross that did us, we just can't look at the cross. You got to look at everything around it to really draw a conclusion and paint a picture to the people so they can grow and get a grasp. I said that many of us are still following Prophet Muhammad. It's like a lot and don't even know it. Now, let me give you the point. Imam Muhammad gave it to us. When he came out 2000, Texas, Suja, I remember this. He said, I never came before you and said, As-salamu alaykum. He said, I always said, As-salamu alaykum. Now, Prophet Muhammad gave that language to the Almighty Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad even helped his daddy correct it. But you see the psychology of Farad, what he gave Imam Muhammad, and he gave us, many of us still can't even shake it, to pronounce these words from the Quran, from Allah's mouth, correctly. Look at the psychology. The same thing that these Christians was worshiping up on a piece of wood, we did the same thing with a picture of a man in a frame. We gave him the same position that Allah had. We talking about Allah of all the worlds. We ain't talking about a little chump now. We talking about Allah of all the worlds. We did him the same way that the Christians doing so-called Jesus. And yes, he's a Caucasian from Pakistan. Imam Muhammad made this clear. So I woke up this morning, sat on the side of my bed. Because many times, you know, in dark and quiet, Allah revealed things to you. I said, wait a minute. We still use Farah's language. And Imam Muhammad said it. Many of us are still using this language. But see, it's the psychological part of it is what we can't shake loose. But in time. And that's when he came back and said, and the reason that you can't take loose at this moment, because he said, you're lazy. He said, we're lazy. He said, you're lazy with the language. We should not want to say anything other than what Allah said. We want to pronounce it the way Allah said it to Prophet Muhammad. We want to carry it out the way Allah told Prophet Muhammad to carry it out. And we want to be correct and exact. Because a person will challenge us on that. And that's what made me think. You know, when I had a conversation with a brother yesterday when we got to North Carolina, and he was sitting down when I gave him another brother's greeting, and I humbly corrected it, and he was on me. And I gave it to him in a kindergarten sense. I wrote it down, well, I spelled it out. And he seen, when I spelled it out, he saw it and shook his head. We got to shake this thing. We are the leaders in the world today. We the new leaders in the world today. So that means we got to be correct in that. Yes, we have to shake Farah Muhammad off of us and get behind Imam Wadi Muhammad the Majedi. Now, if the Majedi came out and told us that in 2000, what's wrong with us? If he came and told us something, how come we're not doing it? See, the thing that he done is signatures for his community. And we must follow that signature that he gave us. And when you follow it, you ain't got to say nothing to nobody on outside our community. But when they still find him correct and exact, they would automatically draw a conclusion that those people there are Imam Wadi Muhammad's community. Those are his people. Well, how you connect them with him? Listen at the language. We have to follow that language. But this thing for Rod, and I see it. I see it. That how it affected us. Because it had like, what, 30-something years, almost 40-something years in our heads under Muhammad. And even Muhammad came, he said himself that he helped his daddy. He corrected some things from his poor father. And his father accepted it. So if he accepted it, that when this where his era was, how come we can't do it? And the thing is, we have to do it. We have to. So this cross thing, these images that we're talking about, we see now how detrimental they are from the Christian's point of view and from the Muslim point of view dealing with Farah Muhammad. Because like Imam Muhammad, it was reverse psychology. But it was embedded in us so deep. That's why it's kind of hard to shake it. But Imam Muhammad said, when you pronounce a word, if it's wrong, stop immediately and correct it. Stop and correct it. We can't keep on going on saying the same thing that Farah said to Elijah Muhammad when Allah sent Imam Muhammad with the Quran to correct everything that we're saying, to correct this image on both sides and anywhere else that we sit in the world. It's our job to bring it to the attention of the people where we are trapped at. So we growing up now. We growing up now. See, when we come out of stuff like this, to us, see, it don't bother us like, oh, I'm mad at that nigga. Why you see he? Well, he had to go and say that. No, we appreciate, like Sister Dice said, we appreciate when Allah reveals something to one of us and we bring it to us. We appreciate that. We appreciate Allah for sharing that to that person, and then he shared it with us. And what I said yesterday when we were riding, when we had got the news that one of our brothers had passed, I said, there was one great thing about this. The information we got that one of us has passed, we asked a lot of ground in paradise. At the same time, we say, but Allah has given us more time to straighten our life out. We got, like Brother Sujan, we got to really straighten our life out. Although, it's like, you know what I'm going to say, it's like stopping in the middle of the road. Stop. Correct the language. Didn't he tell us to correct the language? He said, that's what he came with. We didn't have the right akida direction from Almighty Muhammad. But we were sincere, and Allah blessed us. Look at us now. We accepted the Quran immediately in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet through the tafsir of Imam Muhammad, who loved Prophet Muhammad and taught us how to love Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad told his Sahaba, in order for Allah to really accept us, we got to love him more than we love ourselves. See, and what I'm saying now, that's how much we love for Ra'an Adam like Muhammad. But since the truth that came now, and the wool is pulled off our eyes, and we can see now, so it's incumbent on us to change it. That's our job. See, if we're telling them about that cross image, the damage that they've done to us, then we also got to accept the other side that damaged us. Because why? I'm saying that. Because we're going to remake the world. It's not put in nobody's hands but us. Allah duty bound this mission for us. Don't that make you feel good that your Lord chose you? If it make you feel good that Allah chose you, then you should speak the language of Allah, which is Quran. And like Imam Muhammad said, the Quran comes from the mind of Allah. So we know it's correct. And he told us, Imam Muhammad said, think from the mind of Allah. Look through the eyes of Allah. How do you do that? Quran. And a perfect example of Prophet Muhammad. So if whatever Prophet Muhammad said that Allah said to him, and he said to us, we got to say it the same way. We can't leave no loose ends. We tying all the knots now. And we ain't blowing on no knots now, because I know how to break them up too. But we tying all the knots, meaning we tying all the loose ends. We're crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, putting the commas and periods where they belong. But the effect of this thing, how it bothered us so much. And to see Allah know our heart, he know we're innocent, and he know we're struggling, trying to learn. But we are the ones that have to talk to each other like this to get up. Because, look, we're trying to save each other. We want to see each other come through that gate. You know, like Sister May mentioned me about the grave today. And I was saying to her that I'm not homesick. I know a lot of this calling us, and I pray it ain't my time yet. I said, they take me to the grave, and now I'm going to jump over the grave and let somebody else fall in it. But as long as we stay committed to what Allah has revealed through Prophet Muhammad and from every prophet down to Prophet Muhammad, we're going to be successful. Then Allah said, the believers must adventure win through. Yeah, and we're going to be, we're already successful. It's almost at the tip of our fingers. Because we're doing the work that Allah has assigned us to do. And nobody in the planet. Now, many of us have been to Mecca. I've been three times. I ain't never heard this in Mecca. I never heard this in Jeddah. I never heard this in my travel. What you and I are talking about now, about this image. Image, that was something that Allah gave to Imam Muhammad. And it was so heavy, he said, look, I got to get it to my community so we can free the people. I'm going to take a little short break now, turn it back over to my sister. I think my brother Akbar's come behind us. But we say things out of love. I love each and every one that's on this line with us. And it's our job to pull each other's coat physically, economically, psychologically. We had to help each other grow. So I came to you in peace. I want to leave in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. And thank you, Brother Man, for sharing your knowledge and wisdom and understanding with us, taking us up a notch further, adding on to what we've been blessed with already, alhamdulillah. Is there anyone else who would like to contribute to what Brother Imam Abdullah has said? Like to add on to it? You'd like to just speak on it, ask questions on it? Feel free to push one on your phone receiver and you're brought into the queue. Okay, we see someone, and I will bring you in right away. It looks like Brother Muhammad. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum. Brother Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And the Shaykh out near right here. May Allah's peace and blessings for all of you in the cube, and bless us all to continue to work on this message of concern of the images, the false images, and racism and worship of people. You know, not only trying to get into a worship of our people, Muslims, but have been for thousands of years, you know, causing this problem by following the whispers of the shaitan to divide the human family on realities that really don't even exist. They're totally false. They don't exist. You know, God had a son, and a skin color has something to do about who is God's favorite people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we pray a lot that as he continue to bless the word of this message of concern about what these images and these psychological effects that is affecting all of us, including especially our children, because our children are being denied the opportunity to listen to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace, freedom, justice, and equality in a peaceful environment, in a peaceful atmosphere, because the people are so distracted, you know, from the what you would call the influences of disorientation, you know, with people who don't have any orientation. And the one they got is so extreme from what they created, what we always created to be, that it's very difficult. We have to really pay attention to how it's affecting our children, because like I said again, it's denying us to give them the quality time, the truth, if they're going to have to stand on forever if they want to, and if we want to see them in the, you know, in the afterlife, in the reality that Allah has promised all of us who stay conscious, stay in dicker, stay in regardless of what we are remembering who our Creator is and what He has created us for and what He has prescribed for us to do at our time. So we have to really ask Allah to help guide us and those who are outside in this queue. You know, we have to figure out how can we get our children back into living a moral life, moral intellect, moral feelings, etc. And it's going to take the turning around to the right Qibla. You know, we have to understand in regards to how much we're trying and how much we are fighting. But what they say in those kind of terminology, when the table turns, when we turn the table back to the Qibla, where Allah has already prescribed for us and turned us to, and hold firm and look forward and quit listening to the whispers of the shaitan as he calls us back to a reality that don't even exist, never exists. Just saying, ever since that we've been created, this respite that we're giving shaitan is about the false world he's trying to invite us to, and we are supposed to die, you know. But it's 2021. We in the final revelation, and a lot of us are growing to understand. Allah don't have to bargain with us. And we thank Allah that He makes our children the number one reason why we should protect them from the psychological effects of this experience that's going on in our world, in the United States of America, and all around the world, where eventually, as they grow, they will have to take on the same responsibility that we've been, and that's trying to establish a way of life for all human beings who has got control of their will and want to put their will in the will of the Creator of themselves. And try to leave it in there as much as humanly possible as they can and live a moral life that God does exist, God is real, you know, and we are the one who was involved in a false reality, listen to the enemy of us and especially our children. We had to all remember he's after our children all the time. And we know the only way that he can from thinking about our children the way that we want to, he has to try to threaten us with food, shelter, clothing, and transportation. Make us think that we ain't got it, ain't going to get it, and if we do get it, he's always threatening us all the time that he's going to take it from us. If we want to live amongst his world, and we have to understand that. Do we really understand that we are so distracted that we are encouraging and letting our children think that we want to live in this world? We want to live next door to homosexuality. We want to live next door to people who drink. We want to have friendship with people who smoke dope, you know, who are living the life of an animal that Allah permitted them to live. All we're supposed to do is call them back. You know how when a dog has a good human being around him and we call to the dog knows which one to come to and what not to come to, you know. And just like Allah has already showed us how we can give life to a regular dog and treat him so humane that the dog would rather live with the human being than live with his own creation, his other animals.
No,
that
I will.
Can be a sign to us and let us understand that all we're supposed to do is just call our humanly brothers. Call them with such sincerity of love and that we have so much concern for their condition that even if they was living the life of a dog, they would listen to it. Like some of us came from a dog life. Some of us doing doggy things when Allah blessed us and spoke to us with such mercy and love and invited us to peace, that it was enough for us to remember that we wasn't a night creature, but we wasn't a vampire or someone preying on the weaknesses of other human beings. We wanted to be free from all those psychological images of what we are. You know, same way with our children. You know, we got six or seven. I remember when Imam Muhammad, one of the world's foremost reformers of the religion of Al-Islam and all other religions, because from the Quran, all of the books Allah has sent to every human being on this earth, it can be corrected if they want to read it and study it or ask questions about it. You know, Allah will bless them with the same mercy he gave us and bring them out of that confusion if they want it, to protect their children. But our children have so many identities, psychological effects of having all these identities. But most of all, they see that even though we tell them about Al-Islam, we tell them about the creator of all the world, when we're not watching them, when we're not around, Shaitan is still calling them to racism, calling them to skin color, calling them to beer, alcohol. And we have not yet closed the gate to that whisper that he's doing to our children, because we don't, or either don't have yet a type of faith to where we know that when we took our shahada, from the first day we took our shahada, we was already Muslim. We was already in Al-Islam. We was already in our world. But we keep leaving our world, and a lot of times we don't even know that. We're operating outside of Al-Islam, trying to help people in their world. And then before we know it, we done lived 10, 15 years, have our children 10, 15 years exposed to the American way of life. We have not gave them out of Islam yet. We have not gave them communities. We have not gave them their own stores. We have not gave them their own recreation centers. So we too busy trying to do it within the dunya. So they, it makes them unknowingly fall upon either the psychological science of the language of the shaitan to make them think that we got to try to, what they don't say, and they always say, try to get in where you fit in or something like that. Get in where you fit in or something like that. That's what our children are seeing. They're seeing us as Muslims. We have another world that Almighty God Allah has set aside for us to build for ourselves first and anybody else who wants the same thing, peace, love, happiness, freedom, justice, and equality. But we putting all our time, we putting all our resources, we putting all of our daily effort of time to convey to a people in the dunya, and we're trying to get resources in the dunya, you know, and actually live there. You know, a lot of our children, we felt are very alive. Some of our children are 50 years old, 60, some of our children are 60 years old. And just think, from the time they was born, and Allah had blessed us to share with them their new life, their new opportunity to live in a world of peace called Al-Islam, even though we in the middle of the fire. And not just only us in America, but any Muslim anywhere on this planet, even in Mecca, even in Kuwait, are living in a society that is contrary of what they are destined to live if they make it to it. All the distraction. And they, and we cannot see that we are trying to live in America. Not the share that Allah said, hey, Allah said, get your share of the duty. Don't forget your share of the duty. I don't care if you live in France. I don't care if you live in Russia. I don't care if you live in China. If you are there, and we know they have Muslims in every one of them cities, countries I named, but they have their share of the dunya. You know, they're not, the Jews and the Muslims in America or the other religious people in Russia, I mean, they're not trying to take over Russia. Because those of them, especially the Muslims who are there in Russia, and they've been there, remember, the Muslims have been in Russia at least 22 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Allah called him back. Muslims went to Russia and lived and been over there ever since. You know, and they are not trying to live in conjunction in a fornicated relationship with the those people who call them Russians who don't even believe in God. They're trying to maintain and establish and protect their share of Russia, of the dunya of Russia. They're sharing. Same way with us. We're not going to let nobody run us off this planet. Well, they know where to go. We know that, and they don't know that. You know, and we have to first let them know we come to common terms. If you say you believe in God, okay, we can agree on that. What we can't come to common terms on, you be your way and I be mine. But don't come in my neighborhood thinking that you want to bring alcohol and drugs and homosexuality in our neighborhood, but we still can work on the thing of common terms. We say we believe. We say we did. We say we want the best of food. We can work out a way like Medina and have a treaty with all of the communities in the world, you know, until we become one believing community as opposed to other different degrees of believing communities, you know. That's why Allah showed us that the Prophet was worried about the many sets that our people are going in. They thinking they're going to be practicing Al-Islam, and live, not practicing, but living out Islam, but they're living a degree of Islam mixed with culture, mixed with Christianity, you know, mixed with two or three different cultures dictating to how they're Islamic and what the Quran says. Like, how can you be a king in Mecca? How can you be a king? We got King's Garden in Mecca. You know, they controlling the income, who comes to visit the house of Allah, that's there for the believers. especially the believers of the Quran. You know, especially the believers who are responsible for the security of all human beings on this earth who want to be free from the whispers of the shaitan. We got to tell our children this, because they're growing right into it. It's waiting on them. It ain't like it's going to disappear. It's waiting on them. And shaitan says, if they let them run into this illusion I have, that they should not separate from us, they should try to live with me, their open enemy, and the people I have underneath my influence, the psychological effect that our children are suffering from, false worship, racism, and religion and stuff like that, we are the number one reason why it's affecting them. Because we're not putting no protection on them. We're not putting the protection on them like we should by giving them their own home. Giving them their own. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum. May Allah's peace, blessings, go on us.
Okay. Ramana, how's your wife?
She's getting ready to move. We're getting ready to move her to the hospital that deals with taking her off of the ventilator and trying to make sure they'll get a better assessment of her now. And we still don't like the idea that she has not I still see the same thing that she looked like she was suffering from before, that her vein busted. If that's the case, because that's a physical reaction, I still see the subtleness. Like you know how the brain might get an infection in it or something like that, and because she still has that want to go to sleep if you don't say nothing to her, but she's very conscious now though. She's doing real good. You know, she moves her legs and everything like that, and she's in control of her talking and not talking, but can't talk because they're saying it. But you can still see that if you don't say nothing, she'll drift back off, you know. Now, what I had them look at, I was trying to tell them that headache that she had when I found her ill, that COVID-19, them shots that do that to you, the headache.
Yeah,
you know, the other thing; those are part of the symptoms of the residue from these shots, right? I had them all the time. I still had these headaches ever since I took them shots. You know, and there's no reason for them. And I can see that she's still having the same thing too. So, but I think maybe her not taking her medicine might expedite the situation, I really think that the virus vaccine has something to do with it. I really do. So I have them checking on that. Matter of fact, I just told the people where the hospital she's going at too. That's what I think, you know, because they really haven't seen no stroke reaction. She can move her arms and legs. She's got good cognitive thinking when you talk with her, you know. So, but still that same symptoms that the virus give you. And I know I'm dealing with my own self. Ever since I took that shot, you know, I had a little headache. They just come out of the clip. It makes you feel like there's pressure on your eyes. It makes you feel like there's pressure on your forehead. It might not last no more than about 30, 40 seconds, 50 seconds, but you can feel it. Or just feel like an eye ache or something, if there's no reason for it, though. And then it goes away, you know?
Wow.
So that's what she's dealing with right now, you know? And a lot of people who took that, taking that shot, you need to go back and Google when they up front told you about all the symptoms that Pfizer and them thing was giving to you, and then you need to start researching yourself and seeing if you're having those symptoms, you know, because I think that people with prior illnesses, most of them all have high blood pressure, most of them have some other things, you know, and I think that virus makes your blood pressure even get a little more stronger. I think it does put pressure on your brain, like, and I think that's one of the symptoms too. You know, you have to wait because how it makes the kids' heart swell up. I think it might be doing the same thing to adults. It might be making the heart, with the inside of the heart, the outside of the heart swells up. You know, from the virus shot. I think it does the same thing to the brain. I've been researching. I'm working on it. I'm taking my own stuff out. Now that my wife has gotten sick, I'm trying to identify. I said, wow, there's too many things that she's going through that I've been going through. Maybe this shot has something to do with it. But like I said, I told them that they gave her a second, thorough exam, trying to find out if she had the had the virus, even though she's been taking the vaccine for it. And they said, no, I said, yeah, but what y'all need to do is try to find out the vaccine. We need to know more about the vaccine. How does it affect people more? You know they're coming out more stuff about it. But anyway, that's basically how she's doing. So Allah has blessed her to slowly but surely walk it down, you know, and everything else looks good. She looks good. It has affected her eyes, too. You know, it's affected her eyes. You know, but that's all related. But like I said, you can't discount the blood pressure. That's a real life thing. So right now, they haven't really designated anything. All they've done was stop the bleeding. All they've done is got the all the symptoms of the shoes going to back down. And now they got to take her off this ventilator so they can try to see if there's anything else to pop up. You know, as long as you're on that ventilator, there ain't too much damage control you can diagnose it. Because you got to let her get to breathing on her own and letting her body recover and then see where the body is still showing some kind of danger sign, like getting numbness in the arm or paralyzation or whatever like that, you know. But she lost her arm, like I told y'all before. She lost her arm for about 3 or 4 days. She couldn't move her arms and legs. But now she's good. She crosses her leg, past her feet, you know. Well, I asked her to do that because it keeps the circulation going in. It's good for circulation, blood circulation,
right,
you know.
Right.
You know, so I told her, do dogs, so you do that anyway. Every time you feel like you cross your legs, you uncross them, you pat your feet. I said, if nothing else, you're giving your legs some strength and build up their strength, because that's going to be the biggest problem when you have a stroke is, boy, you'd be so exhausted. The body goes so exhausted. Because I had one in 2014. So basically, that's what
low
she said.
Low leg bone.
You know, and the prayers, no doubt about it. I mean, I try to be realistic, but, we know Allah is real. So Allah has shown me that the du'as that everybody has been making, I know he has answered us. And I was telling her that yesterday. I was saying, we thank Allah. You got to keep your own prayers. You got to thank Allah that he has let you get back with us. And everything like that. And so that's just basically what's over here.
Allah, white brother.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We see Haja Lala wants to say something. We don't have too much longer, but we're going to give you that opportunity, Haja Lala, to say what you want. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Yes, miss. The update. My thumbs up for you, Brother Muhammad, as well. Keep us updated at all times. You know, Allah's in charge.
Yes, ma'am.
But my daughter had a symptom like that, too, after the shot. She had gotten so ill, she couldn't go to work for 10 days. And
yep.
So, I understand what you're saying. When that happened to your wife, I said that the same thing happened to my daughter, but she just got sick for 10 days. So, you know, but she's okay now.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Glad she's better.
Yes.
Does anyone else? Now, let me see who hasn't said that so far. Okay, it looks like everybody has had a first round, so this is almost, we've got about 5 more minutes. Let me see. Who else would like? Brother Akbar? Brother Akbar? Excuse me? What did you say, Brother?
I said, if I could, I had a message to give possibly Akbar and Sujah. I don't know, Akbar, you might know the brother, but the brother was at breakfast this morning. Mm-hmm. He owns 40 acres of land in Sandersville. And he said he's been trying to get somebody to help him cut down his trees and everything like that and prepare the land so he can try to get somebody again, either help him grow, get some animals on there and et cetera, like that. So I gave a couple of brothers' names who I know who have 40 acres of land like he do. and tell them what they're doing, especially the brother there in Pittsburgh, Alabama, brother who talked to BUII a long time ago, you know. So I told the brother, you know, I usually don't bother nobody. If you're serious about doing this, I gave you two names. I said, but make sure you call me, and I gave him my number. And I told him I'll give him some more names because there's a couple of brothers in Fayetteville, North Carolina, who has 60, 70 acres of land, and they're interested in trying to, whenever, whoever established a halal situation, that we're going to need stockyards. We're going to need control of our own animals. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the small farms, 40 acres, 30 acres, 50 acres, or 100 acres, we need to start making sure that we start getting control of our animals, you know, and not depend upon the outside market when especially with a lot of blessings with a halal processing plant somewhere in the area, you know?
Mm-hmm. A lot of weight, bro.
That's
what Imam said, and the other prophet, the people, when they, the way they kill you through the food you eat. If the food ain't no good and you eat it, then that's a good chance that they're going to start hurting you within you. So the food we eat is good for ourselves. So we're going to have to, and all these deaths have occurred. We hate to hear about our brother. May Allah forgive us and stand and best in the end of the agenda. And we know tomorrow we'll be burying another soldier, Brother Abdul Kareem, normally called Commander. So we buried one soldier today.
Sujah, don't you know Habib Muhammad in Chicago area?
Yes.
That's my father-in-law. That's my grandbaby's grandfather. Well, he passed yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. My ex-son-in-law just called me and let me know.
Yes,
okay,
there was two jobs.
Which son-in-law is that?
Adil.
Yes. I just heard about it myself.
Right. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Allah came to my return.
Yep, that's right.
Alhamdulillah.
As Brother Ibrahim said, Allah, Prophet Imam says, Allah is great in the day.
Yes,
sir. Absolutely. Well, that's an hour. It's 9 o'clock. I'm like Imam W.D. Muhammad used to say, may Allah be pleased with him. When we come together sometimes, it seems like we hate to depart from each other.
Yeah, it's all the time.
You know, we hate to depart
from
each other.
That's why I told you to bring your lunch bag with you.
But it's now that hour 9:01, and I thank everybody for coming on. I really do, and we got to call the family in Chicago and see what it is we can do to offer our services.
Can't leave the coin out there unless you want them to come. You got to put it back in a box. So.
You talking about these chickens? So you not talking about the chickens, ain't
you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know it was on mute.
That's okay.
There was a lady on McAfee in her front yard. The Caucasian people got chickens in their front yard.
they become a pest now. The neighbor likes them. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
No. We're just getting home ourselves.
Oh, well, alhamdulillah, you made it home.
Well, we thank Allah, you made it home.
All right, bro.
Had a long weekend.
Long weekend.
Yes.
I hope you made it in time, Rajin. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah, let not our hearts deviate from that which you have brought us to. I seek protection from Allah, and I do repent to him. For Allah, give us goodness, life, and excellent in the next, and save us from the torment of hell fire. Grant us salvation from the fire, Allah. Ameen, Allah.
Ameen.
Ameen.
Allah,
peace
and
blessings on everybody, and be safe.
Yes,
sir. Love you all. Love you all. Think about you.
Amen.
So they pray a lot. We get stronger in our endeavors here. That we can get stronger and bring the people to reality and the truth. Please, Allah, bless them to come on in now and just face reality. You know, and get it together. Okay. As-salamu alaykum. Everybody, keep safe.
Alaykum as-salam.
Remember Allah, Allah remember you.
Hey,
all right,
bro. Haven't heard from Brother Aimee. Haven't heard from him yet. So I'm up here. Came on once, but I didn't see him.
No. Yeah. Wait, I still have the line open.
Okay, yeah, we're supposed to be out of here, but he's like, they've still got the line open, okay. I'm trying to make sure I get everybody's name down that's been on
okay.
here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, brother Mubarak. Thank you.